Senate will hear Marcus Tullius Cicero.
On this eve of his most glorious triumph, I move that Gaius Julius Caesar be made imperator and granted absolute power over Rome for a period of 10 years.
As some of you know, Caesar and I have had our disagreements. However that may be, he has shown himself to be as wise and merciful in victory as he was invincible in battle. Let this be an end to division and civil strife. I willingly pledge my loyalty to him, and I urge you all to do the same. I heartily commend the motion proposed by Marcus Tullius Cicero.
Is carried unanimously.
Many of you here today fought against me. Many of you wished me dead. Many of you perhaps still do. But I hold no grudges and seek no revenge. I demand only this, that you join with me in building a new Rome, a Rome that offers justice, peace, and land to all its citizens, not just the privileged few. Support me in this task, and old divisions will be forgotten. Oppose me, and Rome will not forgive you a second time. Senators! The war is over.
When Caesar says do this, it is performed.
Set on. And leave no ceremony out. In the press that calls on me. I hear a tongue shriller than all the music cries, Caesar. Speak. Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March.
What man is that?
A soothsayer bids you beware the Ides of March.
Set him before me. Let me see his face.
Fellow, come from the throng. Look upon Caesar.
What sayst thou to me now? Speak once again.
Beware the Ides of March.
He is a dreamer. Let us leave him.
Pass!
Caesar, wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar.
Doth not Brutus bootless kneel? Speak, hands for me!
Pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of time. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use and dreadful objects so familiar that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war. All pity shout with custom of fell deed, and Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge with Ate by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry, Havoc! And let slip the dogs of war.
that this foul deed shall smell above the earth, with carrion men groaning for burial.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it was a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here, under leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men, come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me. But Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. He hath brought many captives home to Rome, whose ransoms did the general coffers fill. Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? When that the poor have cried, Caesar hath wept. Ambition should be made of sterner stuff. Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. You all did see that on the Lupercal, I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and sure, he is an honorable man. I speak not to disprove what Brutus spoke, but here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? Oh, judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar.
This is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
That's why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, our annual remembrance of the Ides of March. It is Friday, 15 March, year of our Lord, 2024. Of course, very powerful from the 1953 Academy Award nominated, and I think Academy Award winning for cinematography and for art direction, Julius Caesar, and of course from the HBO's Rome, and then ending with Damian Lewis's amazing performance there. Damian Lewis, you remember from Billions and Band of Brothers, I think others. But it's contemporary today, and I want to bring in our own Darren Beatty over at Revolver. Darren, yesterday we did kind of part one of the Color Revolutions, and you mentioned the couple. The reason today this is so relevant, I mean, Robert Kagan, when you talk about Victoria Nuland being kind of the intellectual architect of the Color Revolution strategy of both the Obama administration and the Biden regime, her husband on one aspect is on the other side of the football because he's a neoliberal neocon, but actually he's a big believer in the deep state, the administrative state. He wrote a piece, and I believe it was in January of this year, and I think it was 3,000, 4,000 were in the Washington Post, the Jeff Bezos Amazon Washington Post, that was kind of the Red Caesar, where he takes the exact events of the Ides of March, or 15 March, in ancient Rome at the end of the Republic, and actually brings him up to today where he makes the moral case. Kagan, who's one of the most powerful public intellectuals out there, makes the case that what Brutus and the assassins did was justifiable to try to save Rome. He makes the same case, really makes the moral case, why you could have an assassination of President Donald J. Trump. Can you tell us who Victoria Nuland's wingman is and why he is so dangerous, sir?
Well, again, it's interesting to look at all of these families. It's the bipartisanship is not only in, it's really not bipartisanship so much as it is transpartisanship. These permanent bureaucrats exist on a plane that is, that transcends the partisan divisions that animate so much of retail politics. I think that's one of the central insights of the term deep state, which originated, I think, in Turkey to refer to a similar situation there. I think Pakistan is a great example through their intelligence agencies of a deep state. And in our case, if there's anything of a deep state, then certainly Nuland and her husband are great representatives, not just because of how entrenched they are, not just because Nuland herself served both Hillary Clinton and George W. Bush, and her husband is one of the preeminent architects of the Iraq War. And so in one sense, they're all over the place, but in another sense, it makes, you know, it's reasonable that they're together because they're representing the same underlying interests. And I think we only really began to understand viscerally and directly just how coherent those interests were when Trump came up and challenged them. Because when there's no radical challenge, you can get caught up in the superficial differences that present themselves at the retail level, the superficial differences between, say, a George W. Bush and a Hillary Clinton. But when somebody like Trump's comes along, it really helps to clarify the fact just how similar Hillary and George W. Bush are, and of course, how similar Nuland and her husband are. They represent two different faces of the deep state and two different regime change methodologies. The color revolution, which is now the preferred model in the aftermath of the failure of the Iraq war, there's simply not enough political capital to have another Iraq war. And so the regime has relied even more heavily on the softer color revolution version that is really heavy on propaganda, really heavy on mass mobilization, really heavy on leveraging our NGO cutouts that are, you know, carefully and strategically placed across the globe to basically marshal this type of response when we need it. So it's two sides of the same coin, effectively. As for Kagan, his own family is quite interesting. Again, it's, you know, this is a method of analysis that's largely foreign to public and accepted discourse about politics because, of course, the sophisticated people talk about ideas and ideologies and orientations, and those are important, but there's almost a sense in which the underlying, the substrate of who belongs to what family, what the actual networks are, what the sociology is just as important, if not more so, than the kind of window dressing often of an ideological perspective. In the case of Kagan, he's from a neoconservative family, quite a celebrated family, actually. His father was a great professor of classics at Yale, Donald Kagan, who was one of the authorities on the Peloponnesian War, actually. And so you see this trend among neocons is their parents were actually in many ways venerable figures, certainly intellectually serious. You see this in, you know, one of the joke neocons who's truly disgraced and beclowned himself, Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol's father was actually an interesting figure and had a lot of interesting ideas. And, you know, the first wave of neoconservatism that Irving Kristol represented was largely focused on domestic policy, sort of criminal reform in the direction that we would like. And so it's a complicated issue when you go further, far enough back in history. But it's no question that the sons of these men, of the sort of the great generation, men like Irving Kristol and Donald Kagan, the sons respectively, Robert Kagan, Bill Kristol, or in the case of Podhoretz, you see the same phenomenon. Norman Podhoretz, not that I'm a huge fan, but he's certainly superior to the offspring, John Podhoretz, who is a complete joke and a complete slob, and frankly, shouldn't be embarrassed whenever he pokes his head out in public. So again, you get into this sociological analysis, this family analysis, it becomes very interesting. And Robert Kagan was not just a supporter of the Iraq War. He was an architect. He was one of the driving forces behind the PNAC organization, Project for a New American Century, which was the preeminent think tank pushing the Iraq War and basically the invasion and regime change in several countries, which Wesley Clark famously exposed in a video that I think it would be great if your people could get a clip of it, where Wesley Clark reveals, oh, I just was at the Pentagon and they said we have a plan to do regime change in seven countries, something like that. This was Robert Kagan, Victoria Nuland's husband. And of course, these people all hate Donald Trump because Trump represents a threat to their power. And he exposes the extent to which they're all in bed with each other. And in the case of Nuland and Kagan, that's quite a literal statement. So I think that's sort of a good place to start with Robert Kagan.
How can they, I mean, is it shocking to you that the Washington Post could put up, and today on the Ides of March, you see that, because a lot of people make the argument Shakespeare's play should be called Brutus. Right, because the play is really about Brutus and the conspirators that assassinated Caesar. Is it irresponsible for a guy like Kagan and irresponsible for a paper like the Washington Post to actually publish, which to me is quite evident? It's to take the moral high ground on a potential assassination attempt on President Trump.
Yes, I mean, it's certainly irresponsible if that's the suggestion. The article is not fresh in my mind, but I remember it vaguely. And I remember that this has become kind of normalized in the discourse, this idea of assassinating Trump. And you've seen it in various manifestations. And obviously, I mean, it's totally unacceptable. And it's something that would be completely unheard of and out of the question if it were about any other elected officials, certainly Democrat elected officials, but even, you know, normal domesticated Republicans. It just exemplifies how Trump is this unique threat to this dirty, entrenched system of which Kagan and his wife Nuland are such prominent representatives.
How dangerous do you think it's going to get for our movement, for leaders in our movement, and people like President Trump, as it becomes more and more evident every day? You know, you've seen the collapse of Lawfare. Now Andrew Weissman, they're all turning on each other. This Fani Willis, we documented that with in the previous hour. It's obvious if you look at every metric, if you look at all the polling. I mean, the MAGA movement's rising. You know, every ethnicity, every religion, every racial group. Working class people, this populist nationalist movement is rising with a power, particularly after they did everything to suppress us. How dangerous do you think it is overall for all of us going forward?
Well, it's very dangerous. And, you know, the assassination talk about Trump is, you know, completely beyond the pale, but it represents how psychologically unhinged they are, because from their perspective, such a thing, God forbid, would be horrible, because anybody knows, you know, the last thing you want to do is create a kind of martyrdom out of your political enemy. They would be much better off to stall him out. And maybe they think that Trump is particularly vulnerable to these kinds of threats, that he's concerned about assassination attempts. That's why they're bringing it up as a kind of psychological warfare method. But they're certainly counting on the Lawfare strategy, which I think is, you know, the outrageous stuff is assassination talk. I think the more serious stuff in terms of what's practically going on are all these extracurricular tools, principally the Lawfare mechanism that they're using to defeat Trump through extracurricular means. And I've characterized the election strategy, as it appears to me in 2024 for the Democrats, as twofold. One is at the retail ballot box level, and they're really going to lean into the abortion issue there. The other is the extracurricular level, and that is the Lawfare, all these legal challenges, removing Trump from ballots, burying him in sham criminal charges. And for the extracurricular strategy, January 6th and the lies surrounding January 6th are actually a major pillar of that. That's the whole theory that, you know, January 6th was an insurrection and Trump is an insurrectionist. And so all of this stuff that I've been doing on January 6th is actually very relevant to the narrative stakes on 2024, because the whole sort of extra democratic approach that the Democrats are taking rests largely on the lies embedded in the January 6th narrative from the regime's perspective.
Darren, can you hold on for 1 second? We'll take a short commercial break. You've got another amazing piece up on about the traditional family that we've got to get into. I want to put it on people's radar to read over the weekend. So Darren B is going to take, we're going to take a short commercial break. Darren B is going to return in a second. Jim Rickards has become a regular contributor now. Go to rickardswarroom.com to get a special deal on strategic intelligence. If you like capital markets, if you like national security, if you like geopolitics, all of it, Jim Rickards is the specialist. That's rickardswarroom.com. Go check it out today for a discount on Strategic Intelligence, the monthly newsletter. Back in a moment. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code Bannon. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room-type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that.
because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can break, you can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I've only got him for a few minutes, short minutes, but you talk about turbulence. You talk about turbulence here. We're for the Ides of March special. It still lives. Robert Kagan, one of the most prominent Republican intellectuals, wrote a piece about the Red Caesar that would be Donald Trump and the moral justification of an assassination attempt. Next piece by the team over Revolver is going to shock you even more, I think. And this is why now you need to go to Birch Gold more than ever. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out. The hedge against times of turbulence has always been precious metals, gold and silver. For, I don't know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 years of recorded history. Ask Philip Patrick and the team about that. That's the question you got to ask them. Why is it a hedge? And what are the convergent forces that every couple of days gold reaches an all-time high? Darren Beatty, we are populist, nationalist, traditionalist. The third part of that, the traditionalist, you're pretty shocking when you talk about, I want people to focus on this article, the collapse of the traditional family before our eyes. The other day, Gallup reported that 30%, I think it's millennials or Gen Z. I think it's millennials. 30% of millennials, females, report that they're gay. Talk to me about your article.
Yes. The report on the LGBT, or gay for short, that I believe applied to Gen Z. This piece is about family formation and shows there's record lows in terms of the older millennials, females, basically early 40s, late 30s in terms of having families. And, you know, it's one of those things, people have families or they don't. It's not something to scold about. There is probably a lot of propaganda that would deter people from doing that, which is unfortunate. But I think one kind of underexplored notion of it is this, all of this kind of propaganda attack on family formation is part of this acculturation, preparing psychologically the population for decline in standard of living and giving people narratives to help people cope and accept that. And so, you know, on one hand you say, oh, people are not having families due to, you know, environmentalist ideology. And that could be correct, maybe on a more surface level, but the environmentalist excuse for not having family is sort of a more psychologically palatable excuse than, oh, you simply can't afford it. You can't reach that milestone that you want. So you find, oh, it's not because I can't afford it. It's not because the economy is crap. It's not because, you know, it's the economy has been particularly difficult for this kind of older millennial generation, but no, it's because of environmentalism. So what would otherwise be kind of a sad failure becomes a virtuous display of ideology. And I think we see this in other domains as well, not just in the family formation thing. I think all around you, you see ideologies and narratives set up to help younger people cope with the fact that the standard of living is so much worse than it was and it's not getting any better. And if you want to see an example of where all of this is going, you need only to look to Europe, because Europe is really at an end stage of this process. So people are completely resigned to having a bad standard of living, and it reflects in their attitude toward, you know, wealth. You know, kind of the poverty, grungy lifestyle is celebrated. It's normal not to, you know, have a house until you're very old. And I understand, like, the home buying situation is different there, but the European attitude is very much now completely equilibrated to the realities of this disastrous economy. And I think there are a lot of mechanisms at work kind of slowly, psychologically preparing the next generations in America for accepting, even embracing this new reality of having a low standard of living, where, to quote the WF, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. The being happy, that's where the propaganda work comes in.
Doesn't this set it up? I know you got to bounce, but doesn't this set it up that this should be the best time ever for MAGA, America First, the economic policies to get away from this debt enslavement? Now should be our time to run the tables on this generation and bring them on board our political movement?
I certainly think so. You need a message that works, and more so on this, you know, you need a policy that works. And some of the policies are deeply entrenched. A lot of these economic problems are unfortunately very deeply entrenched, but there's even stuff more kind of at the surface that you can do that would vastly improve things. It's no, you know, secret that the economy was far better under Trump than it was under Biden. And the reasons for that are, you know, quite simple and don't even in many cases require going to a kind of even a specifically populist approach. Trump's economic approach in many respects was sort of, you know, conventional free market stuff. And, you know, there are a lot of problems with that, but it's better than the stuff that Biden and the Democrats want to do. So there are some easy fixes that can be done. But unfortunately, I think, as you know, there are also deeper structural issues that I think will be far more difficult to correct and would require sustained, competent, really excellent leadership over the course of several decades.
Darren, where do people go? You're one of the leading intellects in back of the Trump and the MAGA movement. Where do people go to get to this amazing site we call Revolver?
Revolver.news. Get the latest on the economy, get the latest on geopolitics and society. And, you know, every now and then we like people to have a laugh. We're not Babylon Bee, but we did publish a piece in that vein, and the title is self-explanatory. It's Gaza supporters vow to fly only Boeing until they die or Palestine is free. So go ahead and check out that out if you want to laugh, some comedic relief. If you want the serious stuff, we've got that too, all at revolver.news.
Where, social media, where do people go to find you?
On Twitter, we're at Darren J. Beatty, and we are the hottest of white hot on Getter at Revolver News.
Darren, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you guys do over Revolver. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
This is why at Birch Gold, go check it out right now. And, you know, one of the things we like about our sponsors, they make the information available to the audience, but they also make their people available. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Have them walk you through the converging forces that are leading gold to every couple of days at an all-time high. Take it from them. They're the experts. I think we do a pretty good job on macro, like we did in the first hour, but they're the experts, particularly when you start making personal financial decisions. That's Birchgold.com/Bannon. You get Philip Patrick and the team. Get tons of free information there, the end of the dollar empire, all of it, but go check it out. Dave Walsh, I had to get you on because following this story about late family formations or maybe no family formations, this amazing piece in the New York Times, it's almost like it's schizophrenic. I just want you to explain to the audience again, because it is a cult and it's a dangerous cult, this cult of climate change, this cult of limited energy, because that's the economics underneath it that this generation – the generations under 30, under 40 aren't going to have the economic opportunities because it's a self-imposed, the most advanced industrial nation in the history of the earth. We're actually the most advanced, even post-industrial nation in the history of the earth. All of that's predicated upon a reasonable, smart, and aggressive energy policy. We have the exact opposite. And you see that nothing can get turned around until that's changed. And you can't change that until you change the mindset of the leaders of the elites in our nation that are into, they've left Christianity, they've left normal, you know, the great religions, and they're part of a medieval theology cult that is the cult of climate change, sir.
Yeah, you can't have a developed industrial economy without massive quantities of baseload continuous duty electricity. So they got onto this. The chart, by the way, they published between 07 and 22. You do have two major recessions that occurred in 08 and the one during the COVID period outbreak. And also, you've had a 15-year period of deindustrialization moving ahead, largely because of high energy costs, electricity specifically, and the lack of it. So, yeah, we're emerging out of that. What these guys did, though, they bumped into some folks who were on the point of the spear, actually worried about lack of electricity and lack of electrification from too much renewables, and that is the major grid operators. The utilities are coordinated in major regional councils. One is MISO, one is CERC down here, one is CAISO, California, the California region. The other is PJM, Maryland, Virginia, Eastern Ohio, into major coordinating regions. Well, the folks who run those coordinating councils are sounding the alarm bells over too little electricity left in the system. Now, fortunately, they've come up with a better way of explaining it, and that is too much demand. Looking at specifically server centers and data centers, for example, as a key demand driver, along with Bitcoin facilities. But if you stay focused on server centers and data centers, we built in Mitsubishi for Dominion Energy a 1,500-megawatt advanced state-of-the-art, super clean, super high-efficient combined cycle plant in Warren County, Virginia, two more in Southern Virginia. But that plant mainly was all about serving the massive data center load back in 2007, 8, 9, emerging in Reston, Dulles, out through Warren County, which is a big deal. Data centers, the trunk lines from Europe come into Northern Virginia with data, a huge data center region. It's a huge electrical demand required. Plant that big supports 1.7 million people. About half the capacity went to data centers. That's a huge thing. Dominion Energy's resource plan, integrated resource plan for the next 20 years, openly calls for, because of the continued shutdown of coal plants by them and not building any new plants like the Warren County or like the Brunswick plant or like the Greensville plant we built for them, huge ones, building no more of that capacity. They're even calling for, in their integrated resource plan, a 25,000-megawatt supply gap that they'll have, unidentified. Because they know they're not allowed to talk about new coal. They're not allowed to talk about new combined cycle generation. They're only allowed to talk about wind and solar. They understand the deficiency that that brings of part-time energy. Again, 5 hours a day solar, about 7 wind. Therefore, they're projecting a Dominion directly in their integrated resource plan, a huge shortage. Now, the spin in this article was looking at this from the demand side, which is the other side of the equation of the shortage. Yes, electrical demand is growing. You want it to grow. You want server centers in this country. You want data centers in this country. If you force them offshore because of the lack of electrification, because of part-time renewables that are really tinker toys with respect to the amount of electrification needed, not to mention EV batteries, you'll have a more rapid out-migration of key industry in the country.
I want to go to, this is what makes no sense. You've got the cult that wants to destroy fossil fuels in the development of fossil fuels or any nuclear or any real energy source, yet they're also the biggest pushers of this post-industrial economy, which is based upon artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
You got digital currency. The federal, we talk all the time at Birch Gold. I'm putting out my fifth part of the installment at Birch Gold is on a central bank digital currency. So here's what makes it schizophrenic. On one hand, they are actively going through programs that guarantees you will not have the baseload continuous operations you need to run this type of advanced industrial economy and post-industrial economy. Because the post-industrial, note to self, actually takes more electrical power. And they're pushing AI, they're pushing quantum computing, they're pushing everything that drives you to the singularity that requires more energy, and they're pushing digital currency. Yet at the same time, they're taking every action to make sure he can't have it. That's schizophrenic. Am I wrong in that assessment that they are somehow weirdly destroying the same thing they're trying to push because you're not going to have the power to do it?
Steve, you're totally correct. And the only thing you left out of that list was the 10 more million people that have shown up, which would necessitate, if they're going to have the lifestyle we've had before they came, another 10,000 megawatt power plants to support electrification for 10 million people. But no, if we stay focused on server centers and data centers that AI is all about, and you know, even what we're doing here right now is driven through a data center somewhere, the electrification for those is constant all day long, 24 hours a day. They run 24 hours a day. Get this, just like hospitals, get this, just like large refrigerated food distribution centers run all day long. As you're growing server centers and data centers and, you know, electronic currency management facilities, you need all day long continuous base load electricity. Wind and solar don't provide that. They provide a few hours a day. Battery storage picks up another 2 hours a day. You need 24-hour-a-day electricity of the type that clean coal, combined cycle, which we should have called recycling the exhaust for 50% more energy, very efficient, and nuclear power provide, but in large quantities. Not, I mean, we all knew in the industry 40 years ago, 30 years ago, when wind and solar came out, they were marginal bit players to, yeah, you can harvest a little bit of energy now and then. Nothing has changed with that technology. The sun only shines enough a day for about 5 hours on average, up north, 4.5 hours, then Northern Virginia and further north, to provide, you know, intermittent, part-time electricity. That was known before. It was in the narrative before in the industry, but now we've switched the narrative around to somehow think that this has all changed and this stuff can be the basis of electrification. It can't be. It can't be. It's inadequate. England and Germany are poster now children for the deindustrialization that's resulted from this.
Now, I want to push out, and we'll get figure out how to get it past the paywall, the New York Times. The New York Times, correct me on this piece that's just out. They essentially admit this and give us a chart that shows you what the problem is, correct?
Totally. No, and the spin is, oh, we got this surge in demand. Well, the surge in demand in that chart corrects for two recessions that were significant. One was brief, fortunately, the more recent one. But also the fact of the matter that we have had a prolonged period of deindustrialization. Steel plants, chemical plants, paper mills, the cement plants, the type of industry, refinery specifically, that needs a lot of electrification, we have begun a period of decline beginning in that time period in this country, which has also affected electrical demand. Now what's displacing that? Server centers, data centers. And here we find ourselves woefully short. These grid operators that they interviewed are all on the point of the spear, beating the drum of exactly what I've been saying on the show, that we don't have enough electricity in the system anymore because we've torn down, in those key markets, 100,000 megawatts of coal has been taken offline and now being torn down. That's all baseload energy. That's 12% of the U.S. electrical supply before this happened. And it's been displaced with some gas, but with a bunch of stuff in about to the extent of about 40% with very, very part-time technology. The grid operators have been talking about this for some time. Now they've fashioned a spear with talking about it in terms of demand. Demand is outstripping what they have to supply in active 24-hour-a-day power plants. And it's because what we're displacing base load stuff with is stuff that works very, very part-time and intermittently.
Dave, I want to bring you back for another time. I mean, President Trump was full spectrum energy dominance. And if you get the new Peter Navarro book, The New MAGA Deal, by going to newmagadeal.com, you see all the policies that made us so successful in the first term and will drive America to complete full spectrum energy dominance in the second. But at the state level, like in South Carolina and Florida, I mean, we've had very conservative, very red states fall into this trap of kind of buying into what the cult of climate is selling. Am I incorrect in that?
They're doing exactly the same thing. North Carolina, South Carolina specifically, Florida very specifically, building out now massive quantities of solar power that operate knowingly, very, very expensive to build, 4.5 times more costly per kilowatt hour generated than basic gas-fired power, and only support 5 hours a day. So they're beginning to gut here in the Southeast also buying into incentives and acceding to the pressure of the EPA to keep coal plants offline and new gas plants don't build them because of now the threat to shut them down beginning by 2035 if gas plants aren't hydrogen converted and or carbon capture applied. Therefore, you can't operate them economically. We're seeing a huge solar build here, the Carolinas. Tennessee has been affected. TVA has announced numerous service curtailments and warnings already when it gets cold. Not enough power. No, this is happening nationally. This is happening across the country. It's very sad. The President Trump will turn this around. Big good plug for the book. I got a chapter in there on energy. Very proud to be, and we're pushing for the Great Peter book to be very successful.
No, New Mega Deal. Dave Walsh is one of the major contributors to it. Go to newmegadeal.com, Winning Team Publishing. Get your copy today. Dave Walsh, social media, where do people get you?
You find me on Getter, Dave Walsh Energy, and Truth Social, same handle. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, brother. Amazing. New York Times piece I'm going to have up on Getter so you can see it. One of the concerns is state actors and non-state actors, and even, wait for it, your own government, the FBI, CIA, DNI, all of it, being to get your data, to get you your information, to get you your phone calls, all of it. Silent, one of our sponsors, has got a solution for that. They've got these great Faraday bags for your computer, your iPad, your phones, all of it. Silent is the company. SLNT.com, promo code Bannon. Go there today, get your discounts. Check out all the equipment they've got, all the Faraday bags. If you want to make sure you're protected, stay silent. The way you stay silent, go to SLNT.com. Promo code Bannon. Okay, the great Lou Dobbs is next. We're back tomorrow for my favorite show, the Saturday show. By the way, I love all the shows. Just love Saturday most of all. Make sure you go check it out. Also, Warpath Coffee. Get jacked up tomorrow morning. Warpath.coffee/worm. Get your discount. The Navy SEALs made it. Roasted here in the United States. My favorite. Lou Dobbs next. We're back in the Worm tomorrow morning at 10.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. Warroom Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.